Now, this is your host, Ken Johnston. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. With your financial and prayerful support, has kept us on the air for over 40 years and allows us to bring you shows like today's. Just two announcements before we get going here. Coming up on February 23rd to the 25th out at the Malvern Retreat House, Kathleen McCarthy will be there with Father Dermot Roche for their Rekindle the Fire retreat. You can register for that retreat online at malvernretreat.com or call the retreat house at 610-644-0400. And speaking of retreats, we're going to get ready to kick off our invitations for our men's weekend. It's going to take place August 16th to the 18th, the Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Retreat out at Malvern. This year, our retreat director will be Father Bryce Lundgren. We had Father Lundgren on about a year ago, wrote a book called The Catholic Cowboy Way, and we're going to bring him in from Wyoming for that retreat. So if you're interested in making that one, it's the same instructions. You can register online at malvernretreat.com. That's malvernretreat.com and 610-644-0400. I just got a message from my daughter that's saying that she can hear us over the WTMR app anyway. So to my grandkids, Julia and Parker, it's P-Pop. Want to wish you a happy Valentine's Day. I look forward to seeing you real soon. I know that Gigi's got some treats for you. So happy Valentine's Day. And when we get together, you'll have to tell me about Ash Wednesday and what you're doing for Lent. Grandkids go to St. Joe Rob up there in Warrington, and I'm sure they've been talking about Ash Wednesday today, so looking forward to that conversation as well. I am joined in this 5 o'clock hour by a really good friend of mine and the president of the Malvern Retreat House, Michael Norton. Hello, Michael. Are you there? Hey, Mike, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Now I can, brother. Great to have you on.
Okay.
And between the Lenten season getting started with Ash Wednesday and just the normal operations here, old Red Legs has kind of had his way with us for about the last 15 or 20 minutes.
And that's what I heard.
Yeah, and internet was down, but it I got word from my my daughter via text message that they can hear us. So it's great to have you with us, pal. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm glad to be here with you. Yeah, let's have some fun.
And so, you know, I've gotten to know you because of your role at Malvern. And, you know, it's where I had my spiritual experience some 35 years ago. And I'm sorry, I'm getting a message here from Patrick. What my daughter might be hearing is a repeat from that TMR's put on for us. But we'll keep going. If nothing else, it'll get put up on the website.
Sure.
For folks to hear. But anyway, it was in Malvern in 1993, on that Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Weekend, that I had my spiritual awakening. And, you know, was brought back to the faith of my youth and started to hear about and relearn a lot of those things that I learned about as a kid. And Malvern has since then has played such a critical role in my spiritual life, and I know you've been hanging around there for a number of years too now, right?
I've been out there, Ken. I started there February 9th, I believe, of 2011. So whatever that adds up to, 13 years or so, whatever that almost 15 years, would that be right?
Yeah,
getting there. Yeah, yeah.
And so you started out there, obviously, as a retreatant, or... Was it actually employment first?
No, it was employment first. You know, it's interesting. I had driven by the retreat house. I know people that went to the retreat house, and I could never find it. You know, I'd get up there. There's Malvern Prep. I'd look over. There's a big sign that says St. Joseph's in the Hills, which now I know that's what it's called. And I, you know, finally. But you know, I didn't know anything. I knew about it, but I didn't. Had never been there until I was. For my first interview for the director of development job.
And you were in that job for about 10 years?
Yeah, a little over 10 years, yep.
Yep, mm-hmm. And then the opening for president came about, and you're the man. You're the man.
I was a fortunate man to be in the right place at the right time, and the former president, he resigned, and a good guy, really good guy. But he was my age, which is at the time was 65, I believe. He had gotten married late in life. He and his wife had adopted two children. So he had twin daughters at 65, seven-year-old twin daughters. And it was just this job, you know, Ken, it's like your job. You know, you're running everywhere.
Right.
And he just needed to spend, you know, in the truest sense, needed to spend more time. Making sure that you're raising the kids. So he resigned, and, you know, it was next man up.
Yeah. And, I mean, you're there at such a critical time in history, I think. We've talked, you know, ourselves and amongst friends about, you know, the things that are going on in the world today. And I Malvern has always been important. It's been there, here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, owned and run by the Layman's Association, not by the diocese, but here for over 100 years, but I think is probably more critical now than it's ever been.
I agree, Ken. I mean, I say that. I think Malvern, just based on what's going on in the world, as you said, I think Malvern is needed more now than at any other time in its history. And if you look at its history, I mean, it survived two world wars, right, two pandemics, a Great Depression, a Great Recession, but right now with the way that the crazy world is, just to be able to come out there and break away, spend quiet time with the Lord, and I mean really spend quiet time. Once you're on a campus, you don't hear anything. So, you know, it's I agree, just totally needed right now, and we're seeing that with the people who are coming out on retreat, how hungry they are for that to spend alone time with our Lord and Savior.
Yeah, and, you know, it's something to be said for the legacy of the retreat house and the fact that, you know, we're still standing. I was in a leadership position with my group probably from the late 90s to the early 2010s. I was always and still, you know, heavily involved, but going to those annual meetings where they were talking about all the other retreat houses that were closing and, you know, the struggles that others were having. And somehow or other, the Lord has seen fit to manage for us to stay open, which I think is a real testament to the folks that support Malvern.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, as you mentioned earlier, we are lay-owned and operated. So that, you know, there's a lot of folks that it's a voluntary board, they're on the board, and a lot of them are you know, these are people that have, you know, they're in the business world. And very strong in their faith, but they're making the proper decisions. And then, you know, we don't depend. You know, I like to joke that, you know, we're not owned by the Archdiocese, so, you know, they're not giving us any, you know, we don't have to give them any money, but they don't give us any money either. But, you know, that can be a good thing, so that we are truly self-sustaining on our own. And you know, that's how it works. And there's a big base of people that come there, so that's how we get by. People realize how important it is, and in tough times through COVID, you know, people donating, making sure that our doors stayed open.
Yeah, and then we went from the, you know, that period of COVID, and I'm not sure if it was quite a year that we went without retreats, but once they got started again, you know, in talking to you and Mary B. and Father McKay and others that are, you know, more involved out there than I am these days, you know, talked about last year being one of the best years we've had in a long time.
Yeah, last year was the second best year in terms of in the history of Malvern Retreat House in terms of revenue. Our attendance has been higher. But, you know, you can just see the people that are, as I said, you know, they're coming back. What I really warmed my heart, Ken, is when people were coming back and I saw you, you know, this year on your retreat, and I'm sure you saw this, how many of these folks would just said to me, it's good to be home or it's good to be back, that they needed this retreat. They need their annual retreat. And there is no other place like Malvern. I mean, it's 125 acres, as you well know, of just spiritual. It's a spiritual oasis, and right here in our backyard. So it's just we don't have a choice but to keep it going.
Yeah, yeah. And I've been to a few other retreat houses since I've made that first retreat in Malvern years ago. You know, our Calyx Society, we have an annual retreat. We've had it at Malvern three or four times now. But the other years, we would travel around the country. I've been to the Washington Retreat House down in Washington, D.C. I've been to Dunrovin out on the St. Croix River in Minnesota. I've been to a retreat house, I forget the name of it, in Ohio. And even went to a retreat in a church in Las Vegas. And I can tell you that none of them even come close to Malvern. And that's not because Malvern was, my first. It's because Malvern, everything that's there, I've not seen every anywhere else, whether it's the grounds or an oratory in each building where you can have private adoration, the amenities that we have. And, some people may say, what amenities? You're sleeping in an 80-year-old dorm room with you got to go down the hall to go to the bathroom or take a shower. But that's all part of that austere living you get to do for 40 hours when you're on retreat. But all the other things that Malvern offers, I've not seen anywhere else.
No, and that's, again, this is what makes it so unique. I mean, part of the uniqueness is, again, built, financed, and everything by at the time it was the Catholic Men of Malvern. The private adoration chapels that are in Malvern were all built, by the hands of men who were coming out there. And they literally built this place. Mm. And it's history. It's the oldest and the largest in the country. You're out in the middle of horse country in Chester County. It's probably in the top five. Chester County's got to be in the top five richest counties in the country. And here's 125 acres. But you pull onto that property and you are completely taken away from everything. And no matter where you I like to say you can feel the Lord in the soil there. It's in that, the God is in the DNA of the soil out there. And you're walking, there's been one, I think, last tally, Ken, there's been, since we've been on this property 100 years, there's been 1.5 million retreatants come through our gate. I mean, that's a legacy. Wow, you can feel that when you're walking out there.
Yeah. No, and I'm not the only one that says it. If you have the radio on in the car, and it's like as soon as you pull in the entrance, you automatically reach over and turn the radio off, or at least I do. And it's like you know that you're on hallowed ground. For 20 years of I've been making retreats for over 30 years, and for 20 of those years, I worked 3 minutes away at Vanguard and was able to, venture over there on lunch hours or different times throughout the day. I would bring coworkers over that were, maybe wanted to talk or going through a rough patch. Yep. And there's just something different about there. And no doubt in my mind that Jesus is all over that place.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've given it probably the best explanation you could give it, because, we're all trying to figure out why, but it just is. Our Lord Jesus is just there. And I like to call people, some of them give me a look, but I like to call our driveways Valium Drive. It's like taking a sedative. You come in, you're all wound up, and you hit that driveway, and you can just feel yourself. You can feel yourself literally shift into a more mellow spiritual mode, and you just can't wait to get out and walk the grounds, and you can feel the relief.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I get to feel it every morning when I drive in, and people say, "Man, you got a lot of stress in that job." And I said, "Yeah, but if you're going to have stress in the job, you might as well do it here, where you can go sit in adoration for 15, 20 minutes, to relieve stress in it."
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And I'm blessed to be, working with Father McKay and in the ministry. And I got the same kind of deal. I got two tabernacles, one upstairs and one two doors down, to go and sit with our Lord.
We should all be so lucky.
Yeah. But, you know, one of the things that's interesting, though, and you talk about how things change when you get there. I was talking with I was blessed to be out there on Saturday and it's make part of that Divine Will weekend. And, you know, got talking to a couple other people. And why is it that when we come home from Malvern on Sunday that we're exhausted? You know, it's not just, like, I always thought it was because I was in, like, leadership on the weekend and, you know, running around and doing odd jobs. But even when I come out there just as a retreatant, I would come home on Sunday, you know, at noon or 1 o'clock, and I would tell Sue, my wife, that, you know, I think I want to take a nap. And she'd say, take a nap? You just came back from retreat. How can you be tired?
Right.
But it's that the intensity, I guess, of the spiritual life that you get to live for those 40 hours, it really takes something out of you. But what you get, what you get as part of it, the, you know, you just can't put a price tag on.
No, you certainly can't put a price tag on it, and you certainly do get a lot out of it. And, like, you know, and the more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. And the fact that you're exhausted when you leave there, I mean, number one, you know, it allows you to just sort of let go of a lot of things that were keeping you so hyped up, you know, nerves, whatever, fear, anxiety, whatever it is. Number two, you're spending time. I don't know when your adoration time is. I always seem to get like 2:30 in the morning. You know, which is for private adoration, which is great because there's no one around. But the other thing is you're getting such information. Your mind is you know, I don't want to say that we're overloaded, but it gives you so much to think about. And then it's just, you know, the camaraderie, and it takes a lot of energy. And, you know, it's not like you're sitting. You know, we're walking. We're doing everything we can.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing but it's a good exhaustion, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, I you know, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, when, you know, recruiting, you know, being in a leadership position on a particular retreat weekend where you're doing the recruiting and trying to get people there, you know, at the captain of the weekend when I first started coming out was a numbers guy. He was in competition with a couple of the other captains on who's going to bring the most out. And
right.
You know, we oversold the place one year and ended up with 355, which was horrible. It may still be the record if you only count the original buildings and not the Family Life Center on a weekend.
Right.
But
yeah, right.
But you know, I would tell people when they were struggling to recruit that we're not, you know, you're not recruiting for your sake or we're, you know, out of a pride or ego thing. We're trying to bring souls to Malvern.
Right.
So they can experience what we experienced, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I say in my Saturday talk to people, I truly believe that we, as the men and women of Malvern, are morally obligated to invite people to Malvern. We should not hoard this gift because we know what it can do to folks. I mean, Ken, you've been there how many years now?
32.
32, right. I'm there every weekend. You know, the miracles that you have seen, the miracles that I have seen, the healing of people coming out there, the peace that people find, we have to share this. And it's, you know, I mean, I'm, you know, and as you said, I'm not inviting anybody there for me.
Right.
I'm inviting them there because I know it's for their betterment. It's like asking for money. People say, man, Michael, you know, how do you ask for money for Malvern? I said, listen, because I'm asking for Malvern. I can't ask for a nickel for myself, but I'll ask all day long to support Malvern Retreat House. And it's the same thing with inviting people out there. The saddest thing that I hear, Ken, is first-time retreatants who come out there and they'll say, you know, so-and-so has been inviting me for 10 years and I finally came. I wish I would have came when they first invited me because how wonderful this is.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And, but you, for whatever reason, you can't beat it into them. I often tell the guys I recruit for my weekend, it's like, you just keep inviting and then keep praying to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit's going to to move them to say yes. And like you said, you know, you can work on people for years, and finally the moment's right, and they come out. So, and again, it's in God's time, right? It's, you know,
right.
You and I have experienced other things in our lives, and we know all about it being God's timing, not our timing. And just that hopefully sooner or later that they get there and get to share in that experience.
Yeah, I mean, our good friend Father Doug has the great line, on schedule as planned.
Mm.
But, all we're doing is planting seeds. And, you invite somebody, they don't want to come, but then they get it, each year they get a little more curious. And you just keep inviting people. And, they're going to get here, when they need it. It's amazing how, but as you said, Ken, I mean, we know how the Lord works.
Yeah.
You didn't get that when I wanted this. Well, no, 2 years later, oh, that's why I didn't get that, because this is what was happening.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And that was better. And it turns out what we get is actually better than what we were looking for anyway,
yeah.
This past weekend when I was out there, I was surprised to hear that there were 11 priests there for the Sacrament of Confession. Mm-hmm. I know in talking to Father McKay, some weeks may be harder than others to get priests coming out there to hear confessions. And for me, on that first retreat I made, that was probably one of the greatest gifts I got that weekend, was going to the Sacrament of Confession for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, it's amazing how some of the priests, first of all, we've been fortunate. A lot of the priests that come out to help us are the retired priests that are still able to, they're 75 years old, are still able to drive, they still have their faculties, and they come out, and they love it. They love coming out because they're doing what they were born to do.
Amen.
But how many of them, Ken, and I know you've heard some of them talk, how many of them have said, I had a guy that hasn't been in confession 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. And can you imagine that just, I mean, when I went back, it was at least 20 years, since my last confession. And boy, did I, when I did the confession, I did it properly, and I walked out of that room, I felt like I was 7 feet off the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, just unloading, yeah.
Yeah, and I was back to being captain of the field group, I would talk about that during the announcements, like probably on Saturday morning, emphasizing the idea that the men get the confession. And I call them floaters, the guys that haven't been to confession in decades. And after they go to confession on Saturday morning, they're just floating around those 125 acres. You can literally see that the weight of the world has been lifted off their shoulders. And it not only is it a gift for them to experience it, it's a gift for us to be able to watch it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. We get to see firsthand a miracle, provided by the Lord.
Yeah.
We see it. That guy or woman who's floating that high off there, don't you just feel good about them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You just know, it's like, wow. They've felt the love of Jesus, and you just feel so good about them.
Yeah. And I know for me, it reminds me of my first retreat and how I felt that. And it's almost, for those of us that struggle with addiction, we kind of chase that. And I don't think you quite experience it the same way after, you've been away from the sacrament for a while and go for the first time in 10 or 20 years. You have that kind of euphoric feeling. And I've been to confession hundreds, if not thousands of times since then. And, you never quite get that same feeling, but the
right.
Beauty of it is it gets you back to going to that sacrament and how important that
right.
sacrament becomes in our life.
And it's important. I mean, the one thing that Malvern is doing is we are providing not only the chance, but we are providing, in this case, enough priests where, you go into a confession and you say, I haven't been there for 20 years, you're going to be in there for a little bit.
Hmm.
I remember when I was reconciling with the church, because, I had an addiction issue. And as I like to say, I was away from the faith. And as I was coming back, I went to confession and I, bless me, Father, it's been 20 years since my last confession. I start, he says, what? And this is on a Saturday at the parish. He's like, whoa, wait a minute. He said, are you going to list all these things? He said, you know, there's a line out there. He said, look, are you sorry for everything that you wanted to say? I said, yeah, I am. So, you know, it didn't feel the same as me sitting down with a priest at, you know, 20, 25 minutes that listened to what I had to say, and then I felt the true absolution. Not that the other guy didn't give me absolution, but it's just so tough in the parishes when there's a line.
Yeah,
people, you know, you're not there for spiritual direction. Well, somebody comes in for 20 years, they're going to be in that. They're going to be in there for a little bit of time. And that's the beauty of having these retired priests that help us out.
Yeah. Now I think of Father McKay would tell the story. You know how today the communion lines are long and the confession lines are short, although they're growing. But back in the day, the confession lines were long and the communion line was short. And he would say how, you know, the priest would come out at dinner time on Saturday. This is before, you know, the Archdiocese of Philadelphia was probably the last diocese in the country to have Mass on Saturday night. That they would have confessions on Saturday afternoon and maybe Saturday evening. And the priest would come out of the confessional and it'd say, you know, all the venial sinners can go home, mortal sinners stay in line, and everybody would leave. So, yeah, we've been chatting for almost a half hour now. We're at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to go ahead and take a break. For those that are listening, which I don't think are too many because we may only be going out over Facebook right now, but for those that are listening to the recording, it's only going to be short. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Every experience God gives us, every person he puts in our lives is the perfect preparation for a future only God can see. My name is Anne McGlone, and I am sharing this inspiration with you today during this powerful radio program, In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy. The Lord called Kathleen to prepare us for a future only God can see. This is a program and a radio network which captures, elevates, inspires, and catechizes the hearts of all who listen. Kathleen is preparing hearts through this ministry as she ministers in hospital rooms privately, global conferences, and personal prayer times with individuals who listen and perfect strangers on the street. The Lord is inviting you today to become a faithful listener, for he wants you to set your heart on fire through this radio network. Are you willing to listen in the silence of your heart? This is the question the Lord is asking you. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air. No doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. Again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It's only through your generosity, both in prayers and finances, that we've been able to stay on the air for 40 years and continue to bring you shows like today's. But I think, Michael, I think today's show is a little bit limited. They got a repeat going out over 800 AM over the airwaves, but this one will get recorded and we'll pop it up on the website. And who knows, maybe some of it will be worthwhile for the retreat house to use at some point.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so our guest today is Michael Norton, the president of St. Joseph's in the Hills, also known as the Malvern Retreat House. And we've been talking about, you know, what people experience when they get out there. And there really is, at least so far in my 62 years, no other place on earth like it. And I'm so grateful that it's right here in our own backyard that I can go and visit just about any time and spend time with our Lord.
And yeah, Mike, I mean, that's you know, that's the, you know, people, you know, come out. I mean, as you said, it's not uncommon to see people just walking out on our property during the week. It's a great place if you work close by or live close by to come out and do some praying during the day and walk in the grounds and visiting any of the, you know, we have the three major Marian shrines. We've got Our Lady of Fatima, we've got Our Lady of Lourdes, and we have Our Lady of Guadalupe. And, you know, come out and pray. We have five stations, outdoor stations of the cross, the Pieta. We've got plenty of places to pray out there, so, and plenty of places to walk. So it's just a great place to visit, even if you're not going on retreat.
Yeah, and I understand we have plans for a new shrine at some point. We got to get our friend Sean moving. But And so the makeup of the weekend, so when I first started coming out, it was before the Family Life Center was there, and we went through quite an interesting series of conversations when it came to building the Family Life Center. But when I first started coming out, it was pretty much a men's retreat house. There were a couple retreats for couples, and I don't know, there probably were, but not many retreats for women. And as God would have it, we built that Family Life Center, I think, soon after 2000, right around there. And, you know, it's really played a key part of the ongoing legacy there at Malvern. And, you know, from some of the annual meetings I was going to, there for a while, it was really saving our bacon because the number of retreatants that were coming out on traditional men's weekends were down.
Yeah, and that's what we've been seeing. I mean, the number of men who are coming on a traditional weekend, you know, like, you know, you see it in the church, you know, the decline of people attending. But, you know, when they built the Family Life Center, I believe it was completed in 2004, 2005, you know, all of a sudden you could have couples retreats, family retreats, you know, different, and then we started. They started having women's retreats as far back as 1986, but it wasn't something that really a lot of women, you know, came to. But now we offer across the board. So we have men's retreats, women's retreats, retreats for young adults. We have retreats for the youth, the Kairos retreats. We have married couples retreats. We have family retreats. We have, you know, you name it, we got a retreat for it. And it's really, you know, Ken, again, it's putting it out there. As I said, we're morally obligated to give everybody. I mean, if you come down our driveway, it says, "Come as you are, all are welcome." And that's, you know, that's what we mean. Come, you know, all are welcome here. And we have to have the programming and the space for them.
Yeah. And, you know, for those that are listening, you know, you can learn about all these things, and especially all the retreats that are held out at Malvern, by going to their website at malvernretreat.com. It's all spelled out, malvernretreat.com. And if you click on register for a retreat, it'll go through the calendar beginning with today and, you know, through the next 12 months of all the opportunities there are to make retreats out there, whether it's a Matt Talbot weekend for people in recovery from alcohol and or drugs, to couples retreats. One of the things that we've seen over the past few years, Michael, is because of the drop in the number of the traditional men's weekends, that some of those weekends have been combined to free up weekends, and some other notable folks have started to come in to offer retreats at Malvern as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, this past weekend, as you mentioned, we had the Divine Will. Father Celso was in. You know, we've had Father James Blunt on retreat. We have John F. Bankovic is there every year for the Women of Grace. She's been doing that for about 10 years now or more. You know, people see her on EWTN, and she does. She and her husband Jack do a wonderful. They used to do a married couples retreat also, but we had Jeff Cavins come in. We've had Cardinal Burke. We've had, you know, so we get some pretty big name speakers. We call them our special retreats. Our traditional retreats are the men and women who come on the same weekend every year. And then we have these special retreats with a big name speaker for, you know, for people to attend.
It's awesome. So there's really no excuse for folks not to make at least one retreat out there during the year. I've told folks in the past too that you know, if you want your spouse or somebody you know to make a retreat, one of the things you can do is get them a gift certificate and pay for that retreat for them. And that's one way of kind of forcing their hand to get out there. But more recently, Father McKay with his he uses the comparison with the dentist that the dentist wants you there, you know, twice a year to avoid tooth decay. And right. Father McKay saying you need to come out to Malvern twice a year to avoid tooth decay.
Absolutely. Yeah. What I would like to see people do is, you know, I go on a traditional retreat, and then I would like to go on one of the big retreats. And I did that last year. I went at the end of the year, and it was Kathleen McCarthy and Father Doug McKay doing something for Advent. And, you know, it was a different retreat, but it blended nicely into my whole spiritual program, if you will. Yeah. And it was just terrific. And so, you know, you can do one traditional retreat, which has a certain pattern to it, and then do another one. And as I said, whether it's Father Celso or, again, you know, Kathleen McCarthy, who, you know, in my opinion, she's unbelievable. And my wife is Jewish, and she was out there when Kathleen was giving her talk, and my wife was, you know, slain by the Spirit. I mean, she just sat there, just, you know, completely. She's like, wow, I feel like I'm floating here. And Kathleen said, Spirit's talking to you, you know. Yeah. So, you know, when you have the likes of Kathleen and Celso and Burke and those, you're in for a special treat.
Yeah, and I've been blessed to be on some of them. The guys that put on the Knights of Immaculata retreat, like you said, they brought out Cardinal Burke, and I just had a guest on the radio last week, Christine Watkins. She wrote a book on the Miraculous Medal, and I got an advanced copy, and I'm going through it, and she's got a whole section in there on a priest by the name of Father McCurry. Well, Father McCurry was involved in the canonization process of St. Maximilian Kolbe, and who was really big on the Miraculous Medal. Well, Father McCurry gave the first Knights of Immaculata retreat I went on a few years back out at Malvern. And so, like you said, I fell in love with my traditional men's weekend, but whether it's the Knights or Kathleen's weekend, Jeanette Bankovic and company, you know, there's something out there for everybody. And I think no matter what weekend you go out on, you're not going to be disappointed.
No, I mean, exactly right. And, I mean, we have such a varying offers. But the one thing that to say to folks is, especially the folks that come out, you know, the men and women of Malvern, you know, you go to the Edward J. Friel retreat. But, you know, but sometimes something comes up on that weekend. You know, your best friend's daughter's getting married. Well, you know, you can plug into another retreat. You want to go every year because that's where you're most comfortable, but you can go to any retreat and get that experience. So there really isn't, in my opinion, there's not an excuse to not go on at least one retreat a year, because we have 48 weekends full of retreats. Yeah. So there's always something there.
Yeah. Yeah, and you mentioned, just a couple minutes ago about making the Kathleen McCarthy's retreat at Advent. And, you know, today we're celebrating Ash Wednesday. We're entering into the Lenten season. And if I'm not mistaken, there's opportunities for folks, you know, in the next 6 weeks or so in their preparation for Easter and for the Passion that Malvern's offering for folks, right?
we have a couple of evenings of reflection, and then we're talking about. I don't know that we're going to do the big day of confession and reconciliation because most of the parishes do that. But I also can just tell people, just come out and sit in the chapel. Come out and we'll set up adoration, whatever it is. You come out and walk the ground. So there's any number of things that you can do. The Stations of the Cross, there's nothing as beautiful as walking the Stations of the Cross in the woods.
Yeah.
So there's any number of things that you can do out at Malvern to just get prepared, for the Passion. And
The other thing I found interesting was, for my first few years, I was coming out with Freeld Group in August. So I had been out there on weekends where it was over 100 degrees, and most of the guys, the regulars on the weekend, know to bring a small fan with them to put on the desk or in the window, because the older buildings don't have air conditioning, which has never been a deterrent. It's amazing to me how cool it gets, no matter how hot it might get during the day, and you're in the air-conditioned chapels or conference rooms. So, that's never an issue. But it always seems to cool off at night with all those trees and the shade. But what was interesting to me is I got a couple of the guys that were in the leadership group of that weekend, and it was like, why don't we make a retreat, halfway? So for us, it was February. And I forget which weekend we went out on. I got in touch with the captain and told him there were five or six of us coming out, and we don't want any assignments. We're just coming out to chill and make a retreat. And we got out there and it snowed. And what a difference there is between the sweltering heat of August and the beauty of the snow when it comes out there. So to experience Malvern in all the different seasons is quite the treat also.
Yeah, Malvern is when it's in full foliage, it's absolutely beautiful. In the snow, it's magnificent. I mean, it looks like, sometimes we use our grounds, a photo of our grounds for our Christmas cards when it's snow, because it's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
And but we still make sure that the paths are shoveled. If you want to do Stations of the Cross outside, and it's 33 degrees, everything's plowed and ready to go.
Yeah.
But it's a different experience. I was always amazed that, as you said, people come out in the summer. It's really not that bad. I mean, the buildings are so thick, the walls, that when the sun goes down, they cool down pretty well. And all you need is a fan.
Yeah.
I mean, the common areas are air conditioned, but it's really not. It's really not. It's more than tolerable. It all works.
Yeah, and it's a heck of a lot cooler than the place where you might be headed if you don't make a retreat.
Well, that's true. There is that.
Oh, man. But, so for we're in February, so I guess the last 8 months you've had a new rector out there, our mutual friend in Father Douglas McKay. And I know Patrick's over here still chatting with people about technical issues, but I know he comes out on the first Friday of each month, and that's something that has kind of picked up over the last few months, is the first Friday Mass and breakfast.
Well, certainly the first Friday every month, is picked up. I mean, we're now, averaging about 50 people coming to Mass 7:30 on the first Friday of every month, and there's a little then there's a breakfast. But at the tables at breakfast, we're normally talking about the prior week's gospel. Father Doug gives us some instructions, but we couldn't be happier with Father Doug. I mean, as you can imagine, I'd have to count them, but there's been less than 10 rectors out there, I believe. Of course, there's the Denny O'Donnell, who was there for 18 years, and then after Denny got there, there was a guy here 1 year, 2 year, 4 years, or whatever. But I couldn't be happier to have Father Doug McKay out there. I mean, he is the holiest man that I know. He is gifted in his homilies. He is the most peaceful man. He makes sure that we are following the orthodoxy of the church, which I think is key. And the people just love him. But the first Fridays and all he wants to do is save souls, and it shows.
Yeah.
And he has his wonderful ministry, as you well know. down in the Grays Ferry area, where he's touching hundreds of lives, and now he's at Malvern, where he's touching tens of thousands of lives. So I mean, this guy is just a gift, and I couldn't be happier to have him.
Yeah, I know the whole ordeal with trying to get him to say yes and and what have you, but we talked earlier about we don't always get things in our time. We got to wait on God's time, and it has it's worked out. And I just know from being with him, especially during the week, that how much Malvern means to him, and how God has really used him. His Marian devotion. And he was already a Knight of the Immaculata, and so he gets out there, and soon after, I think maybe Brian Gale had been talking about having something regular for the Knights out there before Father McKay got there, but, it kind of solidified it once he got there, and now we have that Knights of Immaculata that comes out on the second Thursday of each month as well.
Yeah, we have the Militia Village, I think they call it, and... that's growing also, and that's what I'm saying. There's so many things that are going on at Malvern that you can check in if you come to that. First Friday is basically free if you want to have breakfast. There's a donation box. The Knights of the Immaculate Village, if you want to come, there's no charge for that. There's some other things that just escaped me that were off the top of my head, but things that you can come out that they don't cost you anything, but it's a I think the Women of Grace are starting a small Women of Grace group that follows what Jeanette's doing, and so that when you come to the big retreat, you know more about you're plugged into what the theme is for the year. So it's just there's just so much going on out there.
Very good. And you've said you've been there, 13, going on 14 years or so.
Yeah, going on 14 years.
Yeah. And so, it's one thing to come to Malvern and collecting a paycheck. But the impact that it's had on your life over the years, especially being in the role that you're in now as president, maybe a couple lines on what it's meant to you.
Well, I can tell you that I was going to retire, and then they asked me if I would stay on to be the acting president, and they asked me if I would be president. And Ken, it's my dream job. I love the place, and it's allowed me to grow exponentially in my faith, and just to go deeper and deeper and deeper into my faith. And as I said to people, if you would have told me in my 20s or 30s or 40s I'd be the president of Malvern Retreat House, I'd have told you you're nuts.
Yeah.
But, like you, a cradle Catholic, got away from it because of addiction issues. But, the God was always there, as we say. His plan kept banging me back, get on the path. And here I am. I love the place. I love my job.
Yeah.
And, I I'm old enough to retire, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
Because I just love what I'm doing.
Yeah. And I forget who I was just listening to, one of the priests that does a lot of podcasts, whether it was Father Ripperger or maybe it was Father Celso over the weekend, talking about, when you love what you do, the impact that it has not only on you, but those that you work with is palpable. And that, what a difference it is, when you wake up in the morning and get to be able to do something that you love to do, you can't put a price tag on it.
No, you can't. And you're not working and this past weekend, as an example, our housekeeper called in sick. And, you were there. We had 200-plus people there.
Yeah.
There wasn't anybody there to empty the trash in the bathrooms and everything. Now, I'm not saying this to brag. I went and did it.
Nah, I saw you, brother. I saw you.
right. But somebody's like, why would you do that? Because this isn't my job. I love this place.
Yeah.
So, I don't get it. I don't get hung up on all that. No, I love the place. I'll do whatever has to be done.
Yep.
I'm not working. I'm having fun is what I'm doing.
Yeah. No, and I think, we're the same stock. And whether it's because of, where we've been in our previous lives and where we ended up, and then the gifts that we've experienced over the years and all the good that God has done for us. I think it's just natural to want to give back. And like we were saying earlier, you give people the same opportunity that we had, and we get to watch the miracles. Doesn't get any better than that.
No, it really doesn't. And you're right. I mean, just based on where we've been, you know, it's all about service. And of course, this weekend, and you know much more about than I am, but, you know, with your divine will, you know, it's, you know, I'm nothing.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, but I am nothing, and God is all. You know?
Exactly right. So what am I not going to clean for, you know?
Yeah.
What, are you kidding me?
Yeah, yeah. No, and...
Yeah, but there's a new Ken who one time, I think it was maybe you one time, who was talking about, you know, what Jesus has done for us. You know, we can't get close to what Jesus has done for us. So, you know, emptying the trash in a bathroom is nothing.
Yeah. Yep. And when you get there, you'll go places that you never thought you would go. You'll do things that you never thought you would do, and enjoy doing it. And you know, what a gift that is. And you know, I think about, you know, the circle of friends that you and I have. You know, God saw fit through this, whether it was through Calix and then recruiting Father from Malvern. And the crew that gets together sometimes on Thursday mornings for mass and breakfast, and the circle of friends that God has provided, these are things that, you know, when we were both out there in our 20s and 30s, and I never thought something like that this would be possible. And if you told me that this is what was in my future, I'd have laughed and bought you another drink. I mean, there was no way this was going to be my kind of life. And yet that's what we do. You know, we get together and we laugh. We talk about our spiritual journeys. We lift each other up when we have to. And it's just an incredible life. And, you know, the Malvern, for a lot of those guys that we get together with, Malvern has played a key role in that.
Oh, it certainly has. And a lot of guys that, you know, especially a lot of guys that we're seeing, have come through some of the Matt Talbot or the Calix Society, you know. So we've been, you know, we talk about being humble. We've been humiliated. We've been humbled. And now, you know, every day is a gift for us. And I just look at the guys, you know, when you're sitting there and you know, these are true friends, two people that you want to be with. They're so sincere, you can trust them. And that's it. You know, when you find people that are truly into their faith, there's just an ease about it. Look, you and I know. I mean, some of the places we were pretty dark. We're in the light now,
yeah,
and it's just a beautiful place to be. The smiling faces. And listen, all of us, you know, some guys. I mean, some of the people that you and I know, Ken, they've lost everything. And now through the grace of God and God's mercy, you know, they're back on their feet and they're doing well, and they don't even look back. They're delighted to be where they are.
Amen.
It's amazing.
Yeah. God is good. We got just a couple minutes left, Michael. Is there, again, our guest today has been Michael Norton, the president of St. Joseph's in the Hills, probably better known as the Malvern Retreat House. Any final words for our listeners, Michael?
Well, I would just, Ken, first of all, I want to thank you, you know, for having me on the air. I'm going to ask the folks who are listening, you know, it's really important that you do support the station. The station is providing a service that, you know, that simply can't be provided by anybody else, with the guests that we get on and the guests that they get on and the hosts and whatnot. These people are dedicated to really spreading the good news, and so that, you know, it has to be supported. I would ask that people come onto our website, malvernretreat.com, look at some of the retreats that we have to offer, and make a retreat. Try it out. You've got nothing to lose. I guarantee it's not going to be a lost weekend. So, just come and check us out. That's malvernretreat.com.
All right, pal. It's been great to be with you virtually, and I'm sure we'll get together again real soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Ken. And God bless you and all of the work that you do.
All right, you too, brother. Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Thanks.
All right, God bless. Bye-bye now.
Right.
All right, what a day. As far as I know, we're coming up on the top of the hour, and the show is just about done, as far as I know, on this Ash Wednesday, February the 14th, also Valentine's Day. You know, the color red is important for Valentine's Day and, you know, everything that has to do with hearts and what have you. Well, old Red Legs, I think, has managed to spoil the fun today, at least as far as getting the show out over over the airwaves at 800 a.m., I think we, well, I know we've been broadcasting over Facebook Live. And, you know, for those that have seen all of it or part of it, thank you for joining us. And, you know, in this Lenten season, it's time to get ready for God, to grow closer to Him, to become a true disciple. Many ways to do that, but the main ways, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. By the time we get together next week, we'll be a week into it. I'd be interested to take your calls and find out how your Lenten observances are going. And until then, please know that you're in my prayers, and I would ask for yours. So until we get together again, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of His hand. Take care, and God bless.